it would hurt us a bit if we just thanked Him and praised Him one more time. Amen. Amen. I don't think anybody in here is in danger of praising the Lord too much. I don't think there will be one at the judgment seat of Christ that will have rewards taken away simply because they shouted and praised God too much. Amen? Amen. I believe we ought to get a little more thankful for what we have and what God's done for us. I don't think that there's an old song that says, I just can't thank Him enough. Amen? And we simply can't. Take your Bible with me and turn back this morning to Psalms 127. I said I was going to preach from this chapter for four Sundays, but I'm getting to the point I may preach it till I feel like you get it. Yeah. Amen. In school, before you can go to the second grade, you have to complete what? The first grade. At the end of the year, if your grades aren't high enough, in other words, if you haven't succeeded in learning the material, they make you do it again. Yes. Amen. Are we okay? I would like to see some homes and marriages graduate. Amen. Kindergarten. Yes. Amen. That's where some of them are. Some of them turn, Psalms 127, I didn't tell you to turn there, but or maybe I did. Some of them are, you've been married for years and you're still in grade school. We've got grown people treating each other and acting like two-year-olds. Amen? Amen. Psalms 127, we're going to continue our series this morning on the home. We preached the first Sunday on the construction of the home, which is our first verse. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. We talked about the construction of the home. And we talked about God has to be the builder. He has to be the designer, the engineer, the architect. He has to be the one with hammer in hand. He has to be the one to put that home together. The Bible said, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. We got too many marriages that God didn't have anything to do with. Amen, amen, amen. Let me say, make that statement again. We got too many marriages that God had nothing to do with. We've got people who made vows to one another, and it was just words they repeated, like you teach a bird to talk. They didn't mean anything they said. Amen. When you promise to love, honor, and cherish, brother, that's a promise. Yes. And if you can't know in your heart that you can't keep that promise, don't get married and don't make the promise. Amen. We okay? Why? Because kids are coming down the road and we're going to preach on them next Sunday, and at the close of the service we'll have baby dedication. If you're a parent or ever plan to be a parent, you be in this sanctuary next Sunday. Amen. Amen. We preached on the construction of the home, and then we preached on the contention for the home. If God has given you a wife, sir, and He's given you children, He's given you something to fight for. And the devil is throwing everything in his arsenal at us, and he's coming up. You know how the military advances, and they have people who work round the clock developing new weapons. Amen. Brother, if you knew some of the stuff our military has as its resources, it'd blow your mind. Amen? And that stuff developed over years and years and years. And the devil's no different. He's devising plans right now. He's got them in the engineering shop right now, coming up with new ways to wreck your home. Amen. So, and we just want to take it for granted that if we'll just go to church, we'll be okay. No, that's not enough. Well, you better roll up your sleeve. Divorce is at an all-time high. There are more children being raised in single-parent homes now than ever in our nation's history. We've got these Fruit Loops out there who say they have an open marriage. If you have an open marriage, you have an empty mind. Amen. Sir, if you'd allow another man to have sex with your wife, you're an idiot. We okay? This stuff's going to get blunt before it's over with. Yeah. Amen. We're just going to put it out there like it is. We got open marriages. We got wife swapping, husband swapping. I mean, it's the craziest junk you ever seen in your life, man. It's almost back to the thing of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember, and it's been a cycle like this all throughout the history of mankind. When Moses came down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments, they were having sexual parties, man. It was crazy. And we're back there again today. The devil has perverted our minds. We've got men marrying men. Buckle your seatbelt. I said we've got men marrying men. Women marrying women. I thought I was going to get punched in the mouth. I went and done some shopping while I was gone and got my grandson a pair of tennis shoes that he wanted. And I was going to the door, and there's a fellow right behind me. And I just stood there and held the door and let the guy come on in. He said, "Thank you." I said, "You're welcome, sir." Buddy, sir turned around and sir was a her. And I thought sir was going to duke me out, and her could have done it too. Amen. It didn't say anything, but it sure gave me a look like, amen. I was afraid she was going to take the chain off her billfold and thrash me with it. Listen, hey, somebody said you hate homosexuals. No, we don't. We hate what it's done to our country. We hate what it's done to our children. Now they've got the music industry indoctrinating our young kids. This pop music. Hey, I kissed a girl and I liked it. I did too, but I'm supposed to. Amen. We okay? Hey, I teach them a lesson. I teach them a lesson. We just get old school. We'll invite them out to the farm, and we'll take them on down to the barn where you won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. Amen. They can't make a chicken. They can't even lay an egg. Are y'all all right? They can't lay an egg that'll hatch. When God said, "Love your brother," I don't think he meant like that. Two mares don't make a stallion. Two bulls don't make a cow. It takes a man and a woman. Are y'all all right? To reproduce. I'm telling you, the devil is throwing everything in his arsenal at our home. We've seen marriages broken up because one or the other changed gender. Y'all all right? There must be contention for the home. We just want to sit back on our laurels and trust that everything's going to be all right. Ah, the kids will be okay. And we're really going to get on that next Sunday. This morning, I want to look at our scripture again. I'll try to get you out in good order. I have no points or anything, just some thoughts this morning, some scriptures. So keep your Bible out, okay? There's some scriptures I want you to highlight. I want you to underline. Listen, somebody told me, "Well, I just don't write in my Bible." That's probably because you don't use it. Yeah. Amen. 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 There's things you want to underline that you can go back to and reference later. Amen. Psalms 127, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." Now I'm just going to read the second verse this morning instead of reading the whole chapter, and this is where we're going to focus. He said, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Let's read it again. "It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." This morning, I want to talk to you about the contentment of the home. The contentment of the home. I wonder if we could see past your facade this morning. See past your shirt and tie and your big wide margin King James Bible and that smile you got on your face. I wonder if we could spend some time as a fly on the wall in your house. What would we witness? Is your home a happy home? I ask you that again. Examine your home. Not mine. Examine yours. I'll examine mine. You examine yours. I don't have to answer for yours. You don't have to answer for mine. And concerning your home, the only area I have to answer for is how I preach to you about your home. That's why I'm doing this, because it's my job. Amen. Is your home a happy home? Did you fight all the way to church and then get out and put a smile on your face and act like nothing's wrong? Y'all okay? So many times in our Christian school, we dealt with children who were in trouble and they were just acting out trying to get some attention. And you say things like, "What would your daddy think?" or "What would your mama think?" And they say, "Brother Eddie, you just don't know what they are like at home." We've heard that over and over and over and over. You ought to be the same at the house as you are right here. Yes, sir. You ought to be the same at home as you are on your job. I wonder how far you'd get, sir, if you talked to your boss like you talked to your wife. Yeah. Reckon you'd have a job by the end of the week? Y'all okay? Ma'am, did you talk to your daddy like you talked to your husband? Our homes ought to be a refuge, not a war zone. Somebody said, my children won't ever come out of their room. They're hiding. Telephone rang in a home, and a little boy picked up the phone and he said, "Hello." And the voice on the other end said, "Can I talk to your mama?" She's busy. "Can I speak to your dad?" "He's busy too." "Is there anybody else there I can talk to?" "The fireman." "Well, can I talk to one of them?" "They're busy." "Is there anybody else there I can talk to?" "The police." "Can I talk to the police?" "They're busy too." "What are they doing?" "Looking for me." Amen. Home ought to be a good time. Amen. Children, unless they've done something wrong and have been promised a punishment when daddy gets home, they shouldn't fear daddy coming home. It's sad when they go to school and have a better time in a public school than they have coming home into your house. Amen. Can I just share some scriptures with you? We're going to look at several scriptures, and I'll give you some thoughts, and we'll go to the house. I want you to take your Bible, go to Psalms chapter number 37. Psalms chapter 37. This is all these verses I'm going to give you are about contentment, happiness, satisfaction. You know why men leave their wives? They're unsatisfied. They're unsatisfied. Let me just tell you, I'm satisfied with my wife. Let me say it again. I'm satisfied with my wife. I'm content with my wife. Why am I not out looking for another? I'm happy with the one I've got. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You said, "Yeah, but if my wife was, hey, dude, you married her." That's right. Amen. You better learn to be content with what you have. Yeah. That's scriptural. That's right. Amen. You better learn to be content with what you have. One guy said his wife turned 40, he's going to trade her in for two 20s. Really? You go back there again? Not on your life. Amen. I'd rather keep the 40. Amen. By the way, old D turned 40 today. Just hang on to him, Stacy. They get better with age. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalms 37. I went to 137. Y'all hang on. No, 37. I went to 137. I told you 37. Psalms chapter 37. Look with me at verse number 7. The Bible said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way." Stay with me just a second. Listen carefully. Fret not because of him who prospereth in his way. Quit trying to keep up with your neighbor. Because your neighbor gets a pool don't mean you got to get a pool. Use theirs when they're gone. Amen. Say amen, Miss Marvine. That's what we used to do. Watch for y'all to pull out your driveway, but we hit the pool. Amen. I'm kidding. We had permission. Seriously. We got too many people. Man, you notice it in church. Somebody gets a new car. If there's a new car in the parking lot one Sunday, there'll be two or three more next Sunday. Just because somebody else went in debt don't mean you have to. Quit worrying about those who have more. It's time we quit looking at the world and being jealous of them. Listen to me. This is all they get. This is all they get. Their riches, their wealth, their homes, their cars, all that stuff. That's all they get. We get heaven. We get mansions and streets of gold. We get gates of pearls and rivers of pure water. Hey, man, we get it all. We get eternity. I'm not going to be jealous of that crowd. Amen. Y'all all right? I didn't finish reading the verse, did I? He said, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Look at verse number, I think it's 16, same chapter. The Bible said, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." How do you like that? A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Listen, what the psalmist is talking about here, these bread of sorrow, setting up late, getting up early and staying up late, he's talking about people burning their candle at both ends. What good's having all that stuff if you ain't got time to enjoy it? Amen, amen, amen. I got a garage I can't walk through. And never had a car in it. Anybody, can I get a witness right there? Look at Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14. What I'm trying to say this morning is contentment is being happy with what you have. Contentment is being pleased with what the Lord has given you and who the Lord has given you. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I believe God gave me my spouse? Amen. I believe God put us together. We weren't even saved. But God knew the future. He knew what was coming down the road. He knew the woman that I needed. Amen. Hey, listen, you say, well, somebody said, I tell this story all the time, but somebody asked my wife what her ministry was, and she said, me. Brother, that's a blessing. God knew exactly who I needed and who she needed to be. Hey, God didn't put her here for you. She's my helpmeet. God didn't put your wife here for me. He put her there for you. You better take another look and be glad of what you've got. Amen. We all right? Where did I tell you to go? Man, I am so passionate about this thing. I know what it is to have a happy marriage. I know what it is to have a real relationship with my spouse. And I want you to have that so bad I can't stand it. I want these young people like Dustin and Ashley. Ashley, they're getting married next month. I want them to experience what I've experienced. But if we're not careful, the devil will rob all that away so that their children will be raised up in a busted home. Amen. That is not God's will. I had a lady tell me in my office one time. She said, I believe it's God's will that I leave my husband. I said, who told you that? She said, the Spirit. I said, uh-huh, it was the Spirit all right. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Amen. I still ain't turned to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 14. We'll get through this, I promise. Proverbs chapter number 14. When I preach stuff like this, it's hard to preach it without being angry. The Bible said be angry and sin not. So I'm going to preach mad, but I won't cuss. How about that? I'd be angry and not sinning, right? Amen. Be angry and say, I'm mad at what the devil's doing. I'm tired of counseling. I'm tired of patching it up. If you'll get these lessons and you'll get these messages, get them. Get the CDs and play them in your car. Listen to them when you're alone. Get this stuff in your heart. You won't need counseling. My wife and I come December will be married 29. 20. I got it right. Finally. 29 years come December. Do you know how many times we have sat down with a counselor? Never. Never. The first year of our marriage was a train wreck. And I was the engine. In the end of that first year of marriage, something happened. I got saved. And she got saved. Amen. And boy, business picked up at the house. Amen. I was able to love her in a way that I never was before. Amen. Man. Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse 14. The Bible said, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be, watch this, satisfied from himself. Wow. Proverbs chapter 16, just over a page. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse number 8. I like hearing them pages, amen? The Bible said, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Let's read that again. Let it soak in. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Now listen to me carefully. It is my prayer that God would prosper you. I want you to have it all. I want you to have the desires of your heart. But happiness is not in that. You can be happy without it. Somebody said, Yeah, but if I had $1 million, I don't know what that is. I'd like to try it. Amen. I ain't no different than you. But listen, you can be happy without the stuff. You can have a good marriage without the $500,000 home. You can have the good marriage without having a house on the 18th hole in Mirror Lake. Amen. My wife and I got married. We was talking about it last night. We lived in a little shotgun duplex in downtown Dallas with the train right there. I was raised on the farm in the country. I'd seen trains driving down the road, but I ain't never had one come through the middle of my house. We come home from our honeymoon that first night. I'm laying in the bed about 1 o'clock in the morning. Wah! Buddy, I thought the rapture was taking place. Hey, I come straight up out of it, but scared me to death. You know what our rent was? $85 a month. It rained me out of work one day. I was sitting on the back steps, and there's an oak tree. I mean, buddy, full of squirrels. I went in the house, got a shotgun, shot one up. Old woman come out, lives next door to us. She come out screaming, "My babies, my baby." I didn't know you wasn't supposed to shoot a gun in town. $85 a month. You could open the front door and look out the back. The bathroom was in the kitchen. That's a fact. Everything we had, somebody give us.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
We was as happy as we could be. You ain't got to have stuff.
That's right.
It's nice. Get these verses. Get these verses. Quit letting stuff rule your life. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 1. Proverbs 17. You underlining these verses?
Yes, sir.
Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Listen, if we don't get these verses, if what they say is coming in our future is right, you're going to need this. You're going to need this. There was a day in the Confederacy when wealthy men overnight became broke. Their money was not worth the paper it was printed on.
Amen.
It's worth more now as collectibles than it was then.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. This euro comes into play. Whatever you got, brother, is going to be useless.
Amen.
Hey, brother, that's this world's idea.
Amen.
Oh, one world system will fix everything.
Yeah.
You better pay attention to these verses. Amen.
Yeah.
Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 8. Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 8. Just some verses this morning. You say, I want some great, great truth. You're getting it.
Yes,
Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 8. It ain't got to be points and poems. I tried. I prayed the Lord to give me that, and He didn't do it. He just gave me scripture. The Bible said in Proverbs 30 and verse number 8, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither property or riches. Huh. Feed me with food convenient for me. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that?
Yeah.
Not me. You better learn to be content with what you have. This is the thing that is causing American homes to be destroyed by the thousands. By the thousands. Proverbs chapter number 21. I just got to give you this one. This is a man verse. Proverbs chapter number 21 and verse number 9. And I've always just, every time I read this verse, I chuckle. I think it's funny. I do. Proverbs 21 verse number 9. But there is a deep truth in this. Proverbs 21 verse number 9. The Bible said it's better to dwell in the corner or in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. You know the old saying, what he's saying is, when mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
What causes the unhappiness? Discontentment. Discontentment. Amen. You say, well, we're just in a rut and I'm tired of the same old, same old. You keep your job, don't you? You ever get tired of it? Amen. Listen to me carefully. We get so busy trying to get more that we forsake what we have. Let me say that again. We get so busy trying to get more that we forsake what we have. What good is it if you build the finest home in this community, drive the finest cars in this community, and you wind up only getting to see your kids every other weekend? What good is it? A CEO of a large company started having heart palpitations and headaches and just fatigue. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor told him, said, I'm not going to give you medical terminology. I'm going to shoot straight with you. You're burning your candle at both ends. He said, Doc, I didn't come for a lecture. I come for more wax. That's our problem, friend. Many of us are burning our candle at both ends. We're like a dog chasing its tail. Amen. Amen. Every now and then you're going to have to slow down and take some time. Listen, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, you don't have to turn there. In verse number 6, the Bible said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Listen, before you can be content with what you have, you must first learn to be content with who you have. This is the wife that God gave me. This is the husband that God gave me. I'm going to make the best of what we have. Amen. And by the way, sir, God didn't give you a wife to fix. I get tired of hearing this stuff in my office. How can I change my husband? You cannot change him. And sir, you can't change her. Quit drying. God did not give you her to train. Don't dry up on me, men. You're not her boss. You're her partner. You're a team. We're not living in the Middle East where she got to walk behind you. I'd like to snatch that rag off some of them's head and slap them naked. Amen. My wife and I, we was on a trip last year, I think it was vacation. We was in the airport, and there was a woman all looked like a ninja. I wanted to just reach and snatch it off and go, ah, I see your hair. That would be cool, wouldn't it? Be my luck, she'd be strapped with a bomb, amen. It's the only thing that keeps me from it. You're not her boss. It's not your job to fix her. Ma'am, it's not your job to fix your husband. You want your husband fixed? Pray for him. You want your husband fixed? Spend some time fasting for the issues that you're worried about. Listen, the reason is God changes people. Who changed you? If you got changed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Who done that? God did. God did. There is not a testimony of a single man on this planet who can honestly say, I fixed my spouse, I fixed my wife, or I fixed my husband. You all right? Before you try to get happy with what you got, you might better be happy with who you got. Now, God's blessed us. God's blessed us. I have a good home. And I'm not talking about the spiritual part of it. I'm talking about the physical home. It's a nice home. These men in this church helped me build a nice home. And thank you. And I love it. And we appreciate it every day. But we were happy before we got it. We just lived a long ways from the church. We were happy. We were happy in the little shotgun duplex. I can't imagine raising our children in that thing. We'd have stacked them up, I guess. Amen. It was probably 75, 80 square feet. I mean, really, it was little bitty thing. I just like to ride by there. My wife took the kids by one day. I forgot when she said, just here recently, she said they rode down that road, showed them where it was. Why do we do that? Because there's memories there. And they're not memories we want to run from. They're memories we want to embrace. Amen. We were happy without that house. We were happy without them cars. Amen. And you can be too. Amen. We're living in a Cinderella, Snow White myth. And they lived happily ever after. Amen. I've got news for you. If you get married thinking that marriage is going to make you happy, you're probably going to wind up in divorce. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Marriage was not designed to make you happy. Amen. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Happiness is in Christ Jesus, not in people. Amen. The reason you fuss and fight all the time is because your spouse ain't making you happy. Amen. Y'all remember the little joke I tell about the midget driving the car? The guy in the church, he was driving down the road and he was listening to a good gospel CD and he got happy in the Lord and got to shouting and praising God. He didn't realize the red light changed and he hit this guy in the rear end. And he looked through the back window of the car and he just saw this big old head and he thought, oh no, this guy's going to get out and beat me to death. Sure enough, the guy jumped out of the car and he's a little dwarf, about that tall. He come over and tapped on the window and the guy rolls down his window and the little midget said, I'm not happy. And the guy said, which one are you? Amen. It's not her job to make me happy because she can't make me happy. Some of y'all are a little discouraged with that statement. I see it in your face. You've bought in, hadn't you? You've bought into the idea, if I just marry him, my life will be. No, it won't. It'd still be a train wreck. Amen. If you got married thinking marriage is going to make you happy, you're going to wind up in divorce. Nobody is supposed to be happy all the time. If you see somebody who is happy all the time, half the time they're faking. Let me say that again, Mr. Smiley, Mr. Joel Osteen. I bet sometimes they get home from church and she beats a dog out of him. Amen. I believe old Vicky could stomp him, don't y'all? I believe she could handle him. Nobody is happy all the time. You're allowed a bad day. When you ask your wife what is wrong and she says, nothing, leave her alone. Go mow the grass. Get a fishing pole. Leave. And don't even try to figure out what you did. And when she says, you know what's wrong, don't say nothing. Because what you think it might be, it ain't. And now she's got more ammunition. So leave her alone. Everybody's allowed to have a bad day. Amen. You men are allowed to have a bad day too. Just keep it at work. Amen. Don't bring your job home. I don't bring mine home. It comes to the house, but I don't bring it home. People ask me, preacher, where you live? Not too far. Amen. I'm joking. Kind of. When I counsel with you, I know you got the idea. Brother Eddie goes home, tells Sister Angie everything we just said. No, I don't. No, I don't. People who come to me and they're mad at me and have difficulty and all this, I don't go tell her about that. Why? It ain't her burden to bear. It's mine and the Lord's. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Marriage is not designed to make you happy. Listen, you see so many people that get the idea that if we can just find Mr. Right. Somebody asked the pastor's daughter where I was preaching. This is the first time I ever preached for the guy. I've met him in other meetings, but he has an older daughter. She's probably in her mid, late 20s, and she's single. Where's Brother Tony Avery? I need to help him. She's single, and somebody asked her, said, are you still single? She said, I'm still looking for Mr. Right. I'm still looking for Mrs. Right. They don't exist. They don't exist. Listen, here's the idea. You ask a lady or a girl out on a date, she spends 4.5 to 5 hours getting ready. She has taken every set of clothes she owns out of her closet, tried on every one of them. They're now piled up in a mountain in the floor. She's looked at every pair of shoes with each outfit. She's redone her hair 3 times. Y'all listening? And she walks out that door and you go, oh my soul. She comes to the car and she reaches for the door handle. No way. And you open the door. You get to the restaurant and you pull out her chair. Now she's lucky if you don't pull it out from under her. Now she's lucky if she can get in the car before you take off. Oh, this has got to be Mr. Right. This has got to be Mr. Right. He is till I do. He is till you may kiss the bride. Everybody looking for Mr. Right. If I can just have him, oh boy, we're going to automatically be happy. We think the other person is supposed to make us happy. Listen, I'm not saying that marriage doesn't meet needs. It does. It does meet needs. But our happiness, the happiness of our home, does not depend on the other spouse. Amen. Y'all okay? We all have a need for security. We all have a need for satisfaction. And many people get married expecting that spouse to meet these needs. But listen, man, these are needs that no man or woman can meet. No man or woman can make you happy. Do you understand that? We're kind of going back to the first message, the construction of the home. Are y'all okay? Do you know why I've seen this happen over the years? One spouse gets saved before the other one does. And what causes the other one to get saved is the change they see in the one that got saved. Amen. The happiness and the joy they see in them. Amen. I believe there can be true happiness at home. Are you happy? Is your home happy? Can I ask your children privately? It got quiet, didn't it? I don't believe there's a home in this building that doesn't need some help. You say, I have the perfect marriage. No, you don't. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. I have a great marriage, but it's not perfect. Why? Why is there no perfect marriage, preacher? I disagree. Because there's no perfect people. We do have a perfect church here in town. So they say. That's you getting lied to before you even go in the door. There's no perfect marriage because there's no perfect people. Amen. We're human, amen? My wife is not always going to make me happy. Sometimes she's going to squish the toothpaste in the middle and make me sad. I have OCD issues, amen? Amen. Listen, these are needs that no man can meet. You won't find them. If you don't find them in Jesus, you won't find them at all. I'm going to make a statement right here, and I'm probably going to say this two or three times. I want it to sink in. Very good. Don't demand of your mate things that only God can give you.
That's right.
Say it again. Don't demand or expect from your spouse things that only God can give you. I don't have the ability to give my wife happiness. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. We tell each other all the time, I couldn't live without you. Yes, we could. I don't want to. I don't want to. I want to go in the rapture together. Amen. I'd like for it to be when we're on an airplane somewhere. That way we'd get a shot above you. Amen. Get about a 30,000 foot head start. Amen. But one day one of us may have to bury the other. There'd be a void. Be a great void. But we could still have joy. And we could still have happiness. Don't demand of your mate the things that only God can give you. Don't demand of your mate the things that only God can give you. Quit depending on her to meet your needs. Quit depending on him to meet your needs. You just try to meet the other's needs. Amen. Does this stuff make sense? Some people look at marriage like a tick on a dog. A tick only gets on a dog for one reason. What it can get out of it. That's what some of you are only interested in, on what you're getting out of your marriage. The problem here is we don't have a tick on a dog, we just got two ticks. And they're sucking the blood out of each other. We okay? I'm concerned for your home. And sometimes I wonder if I'm more concerned than you are. Because we preach this stuff and you still fight like cats and dogs. It's happy at church, hell at home. Fix it. Fix it. How do I fix it, preacher? Get right with God. That's a pretty simple fix, isn't it? Preacher, we need counseling. No, you don't. You need the Lord. My first question in a counseling session is your heart where it ought to be with the Lord. And I don't know how many times they sat there and I asked the question, and it may have been some of you, and I'm not beating you up, but I asked the question, yeah, brother, I know I'm right with God. And then the wife says, yeah, me too. What are you doing in here? Why do you want to leave each other? If the heart's so right. If my heart's right with God, I'm going to love her like I ought to love her. And if her heart's right with God, she's going to love me like she ought to love me. That's automatic. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Before this relationship can be right, this relationship has to be right. You say, brother, hey, we need something deep. You ain't getting this. Y'all okay? Is your home a happy home? I'd like to think mine is. Levi came home from college one time, just a few years ago, and he made a statement to my wife. He said, I noticed something. He said, y'all don't ever fight no more. We just skip that and make up all the time. Amen. Wouldn't it be good if you just making up's fun? And you can nod your head. I'd rather smooch than scream. Sugar's a whole lot better than sourness. Amen. Do you still have bad days? We do. We do. Do you have disagreements? Every now and then. Why? Because you got two people living in the same place. We're not robots. We're individuals. But we work through those disagreements. We work through those tough days and those hard times. Dustin, y'all getting this? We work through those things. And we understand that it's okay. We'll be making up again real soon. Amen. Can I just give you some advice? I'm done. Let me ask you a question. Do you still date your wife? Other than praying, keeping your heart clean and right, and being faithful in church, the greatest advice I can give you is date your wife. Amen. Two words will change your life. Babysitter. Grandmother. Amen. One of them snowbirds down there in Florida told me, of course, you go to Florida, nobody's from there. Ain't a single person. I ain't never met a Floridian. So where are you from? Florida. Florida, yeah. By way of the Bronx, amen. She said, we moved to Florida to get away from our children. I said, to get away from your kids? She said, yeah, we got about 17 grandkids. We got tired of being babysitters. Have y'all seen that commercial where they pull up to the house and they hand the baby off to the old man, they jump in the car and leave? He said, don't leave the baby. Don't leave the baby. Amen. Go on a date. How'd you get her, sir? I know I hit some of this the other week, but how did you get her? You wooed her. And you wowed her. Woo her and wow her again. Man told me one time, said, my wife don't like flowers. She's lying. When she says, don't send me flowers, she's saying, send me flowers. Pamper her. Quit taking her for granted. If your husband gets up and goes to work every day, by the way, if your husband has a job, you ought to be thankful. We have some men who don't have a job because they can't find one. We have some men, or there are some men, who don't have a job because they don't want one. Let me say that again. There's a bunch of men don't have a job because they don't want one. I spoke with a couple just here recently, just ready to throw in the towel. And they weren't from here, so don't try to figure out who it was. You know why? You know why the marriage was falling apart? Husband won't keep a job. Not that he can't work, but that he won't work. But if you got a husband that will work, man, you ought to be thankful. Amen. You ought to be thankful. Go on a date. Love each other. Compliment each other. Don't never talk down to your wife. Amen. There's a man in our church. I said his name. Most of you know who he was. He made fun of his wife all the time. Made fun of her weight publicly. Publicly. You sorry as dirt, man. My job's not to mash her down. My job's to pick her up. And you ladies ought not to get in little social groups and talk bad about your husband. Y'all, I'm just giving some advice. I'm done preaching. Brother Todd, you can come to the piano and maybe that'll help shut me up. But I've got some advice for you. If you want some advice, privately see me. If you men need some private advice, talk to me. I'm not a professional, but I am going to celebrate my 29th anniversary in a few months. I've learned something. I have something to offer. I have something to give. Take this stuff. Brother Danny O'Kelly told me this morning, he came in and he said, brother, he said, I don't want you to be blown away. He said, I don't want you to be caught off guard. He said, but I got a new wife. I thought, hallelujah, we've been praying for that. No, I'm kidding. I said, brother, did you finally get rid of her? He said, yeah, I pushed her in front of the train. No, he didn't. He said, we've been listening to these messages. He said, it's been wearing us out. That's the whole idea. She went and redid her hair. Y'all okay? Lord, to do things. Lord, to do things to try to please the other one. Amen? There was a message preached out in California. I don't remember who preached it, Brother Freddie, but we were there. And the title of the message was, How Is It at Your House? And you remember Brother Cheney got up the next morning and said, boy, it's going on at the house. You remember that? They made a big joke about it all week. But how is it at your house? Is it a happy home? Is it a happy marriage? Are the children excited to get off the school bus or dreading to get off the school bus? When daddy pulls in the driveway, is it, uh-oh, daddy's home? Or is it excitement that you're coming home? I want my home to be a happy home. A home that's happy will last. Amen. Amen. The construction of the home. The contention for the home. She is worth getting. She's worth fighting for. Amen. If God saw fit to give you them children, you ought to see fit to fight to keep them right. Amen. The contentment of the home. Let's stand to our feet. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the children of the home. Listen, since we started preaching in this direction, I'm going to tell you something that I'm a little disappointed in. Last Sunday, we talked about safeguarding and protecting our homes. And there were a few men, man enough to grab their wife by the hand and say, honey, let's go pray. But it was just a few. It was just a few. I want this to have an effect on your house. And I can preach it till my lips fall off. But do you put it into action, nothing's going to take place. They're going to sing this morning. While they're saying God's dealing with your heart, I don't know why we always say that. He don't have to be dealing with your heart. All you got to have is a husband or a wife in this case. Find you a place in this altar. Ask God to give you a happy home. Ask God to fulfill your joy and your happiness. Ask God to give you the right love and affection towards your wife and towards your husband. Every good gift is from above. It's from God. Oprah don't make happy homes. Dr. Phil don't make happy homes. Every book on marriage don't make happy homes. Just this one. Just this one. God's speaking to your heart this morning. You come. Y'all go ahead, Brother Todd.